Don't harass that.
Hey, good morning. Sorry, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
I had called you probably like 4 weeks ago on a matter with my neighbor throwing feces and urine through the window.
Yes, has that been sorted out?
No, I have had some calls from you, like various calls after I had called in on the program. But I'm still experiencing the problem with her, and they told me
that. You can't be serious.
They're investigating.
But they called me. People called me from the government, and we sought to give them information as to where this was occurring and all of that. And you mean to tell me that's still going on?
Yes, and I'm 4 months pregnant, and it's really bad. I have to keep all the windows closed. I have to be cleaning the gallery.
We really can't be serious. As a country, we just cannot be serious. First of all, for this to be going on for so long, the behavior as though action is being taken, and then after all this time, nothing?
That's what I'm saying. It's been 5 years I've been complaining for her doing this, and there's been they're investigating.
And I don't know. She got connections somewhere?
I don't know what she has, but they're saying, last time they told me that she's not completely mentally insane, so they can't force her to leave.
Yeah, but if that's the case, they can force her to keep the place clean, though.
Exactly. So I'm saying if they can't relocate her, well, maybe they can relocate me, because I don't think that as a human being, you know, as a law-abiding citizen, that I should be still going through this after 5 years. I know I'm pregnant. I should still be experiencing this. It's like I have no.
You see, when you're poor,
I don't know.
When you're poor, you got to go through all of this. Anybody else who was living by a neighbor who was doing this and had the means to do it, they would take the matter to court. But if you're poor, you can't take it to court. So you got to rely upon the authorities to protect you. This can be acceptable for all the things that I hear people express concern about, and they're looking after this person and that person and the next person. Yes. But this isn't important.
That's what I'm saying. I'm seeing people on the news having their houses cleaned up with garbage and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I don't know where they think it's very, like, downright inhumane to be inhaling feces and urine every single day. You know, she has water. People are complaining they're not having water. Her water has been reconnected. She doesn't pay a water bill. But she's still doing this. As we speak, I had to record her, like, 5 minutes ago to send to the reporters to tell her what she's still doing it. The water is connected, but I don't know why she's still doing it. I went there this morning to ask her daughter, why is it still happening? She came out chewing around the cutlass, swinging it around. So it's like, you don't have a say, and there's nothing happening for 5 years.
No, this is wrong. This is wrong. Dead wrong. Dead wrong. And the authorities really need to show that they have a heart and a concern.
I contacted the police. I contacted environmental health. I went to the health institution by the NIS building. I had contacted the Nation News. I tried down to Rastatt. I tried everything. And wow. I don't know why they seem it's so hard to get her in the place, or get her to actually just abide with the law, like not to throw this through the window and through the back door.
All right. Well, you've raised it yet again. And yet again we ask for some proper response to this problem. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hey, yes, good morning. I know this is not funny, but look, I am not a big believer in this government's model where you elect people along geographic lines as opposed to interests, you know, what your interests are. But if there's one advantage to geographic elections, it would be at least being a part of the solution of that previous woman's problem, because she has a constituency representative. And that's a geographic problem is in her area. So, you know, the best thing I would think, the best approach now is name and shame. Who is the constituency representative in that area? Call his name or call it loan. Because obviously, he's not connected to that particular person. And that would be a problem. I would think that, you know, that would be the best way forward. Who is your representative, ma'am? Come back on the program next week, Monday, and call his name or her name. And see that and take it from there. That's the best that I could. Well, I'm not a moderator, so I really can't advise
this person in government says, I spoke to the Ministry of Health on that matter last week, and I don't understand why they cannot take action. I have been calling them every week. This is somebody in government in a position to take action on this matter. What is going on with the Ministry of Health? I mean, they're so distracted by COVID that they can't fix this?
Well, no, I'm thinking about parliament, not government, no one.
No, this is a governmental thing. This is a government department.
No, it's representational as well. The representative should really be contacting the government department.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, when a representative calls a government department, it will still require action on the part of the government operatives.
But if the action is not forthcoming, then the representative, then the people that he represents will recognize that perhaps he or she is not effective enough. That is how you... That's how you earn your badges. That's how you, you know, your merit, your keep. By demonstrating that you are effective, that people in the various government departments listen to you and you can get things done. It's a classic example of a representative having to get something done. Come on, don't leave him out of it or leave her out of it. This is their responsibility too, in as much as it is the responsibility of the people who actually act in government to do things. Anyhow, that's not it. I'm an ex-public servant. And I, you know, I still see them as my brothers and sisters. You know, I didn't spend long in service, but, you know, I, to be honest with you, I'm not one to see the disadvantage over anything. But when I entered the service all those years ago, it was done out of a sense of sacrifice. I knew that I wasn't going to be paid as much as my counterparts in the private sector. And at the time, I also knew that the possibility was always available for me to lose some part of my salary, so as, you know, things could stabilize and then perhaps get it back down the road. I mean, that was all part of a... Somehow you just knew that you were part of, the kind of person who's prepared to give in that regard for the sake of the country and stuff. I don't know, somewhere along the line, things seem to have changed. But I do not believe that the service, too, should be held responsible for having Barbados incur further debt. The problem with this debt thing is that it has to be paid after general election. Now, I don't know. One thing that Barbados can't predict is who wins elections. I suppose Peter Wickham probably can, but, you know, when you got a debt that is incurred now to be paid after the election, you got to ask yourself, that ain't sound too right. You know, they ain't a guarantee that debt would actually be repaid. It depends on who will win the government and so on and so on. I would think that you have to... Someone like myself, who thinks that public service are very important and very necessary, should come up with some way to have them preserve their salaries and stuff, you know, and go forward without having me as a taxpayer incur further debt that would be paid after the election with the opportunity to get another haircut to come. So, here it is. The Auditor General was in the press again, and unfortunately for him, he only has access to central government records. If he has to go outside and deal with the state-owned enterprises, he has to ask for permission from them. Give me a little information on how much you pay to lawyers and stuff. He doesn't have any access to those records because they're considered to be private sector people, and they are allowed to have their own auditors and stuff, even though they receive transfers from central government, which I think has to change. Because if you're taking government's money, auditor has to go in there and see where that money and how that money is being spent. Unfortunately, he, as the Auditor General, can account for $60 million in rent every year that's paid to private sector people. That's a lot of money that doesn't have to be paid, because we are talking about saving money so that the public servant can continue without having too much to worry about. They need $100 million. $60 million is paid in rent through the central government. Governments change. Administrations change, and you never really know how much money is paid by the state-owned enterprises. Even the Auditor General can't tell you that. Even God go there and beg, give me a little piece of information as to how much you're paying in rent. But my estimate is that it's close to $13 billion a year. So when you add this 30 to 60, you've got $90 billion in rent that could easily be saved by government if they would only use many of those buildings that they have, bring them back into production, maintain them and stuff. And then you don't have to worry about dealing with the public servant salaries and stuff. They can now live the ordinary Barbados and not put more debt on me. Why should landlords get away with murder? And then Barbados still have to pay debt because of these bonds. Because bond is really a debt, you know. Bond is really taking money from you to pay you back down the road. That's basically what it is. So, I mean, wait, that should not even have to be considered. And I'm very surprised that all of these experts that you have knocking about who come to speak about BOSS and BERT program and stuff never ever include the fact that the government of Barbados is seriously committed to paying an annual rent every year in the millions and millions of dollars that can easily be considered. and removed from the books if they had the necessary will to do so. But they're not going to do it unless the score is constantly being raised. But why is it only me raising this thing? Why can't I understand? Unless, of course, I got to be the only idiot in Barbados. But why are you doing this? I threaten and got public service in the public's eye every year. Oh, they get paid too much money. Let's cut their salaries. Let me put bonds up there. Leave the public servants alone and deal with the landlords. This is a simple, simple matter.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Dr. Brass Sacks, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning, Alvin. How are you?
Not bad. I'm so happy this morning.
About what?
For 2 years, Mr. Ellis, I was begging you to be Mr. Ellis. And I'm hearing, I heard you from Sajako this morning. And I said, yeah, Mr. Ellis is back with a bang.
Oh, so?
Mr. Ellis, what I'm hearing today is Mr. Ellis before election.
Obviously, I must got good reason to be like that.
Oh, yeah, and you might be keeping it a secret. But I got to ask you this, Miss Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
When the government changed, there was a lot of talk. You know the Barbados Labour Party, for all the years that I know them, always got that somebody doing something wrong. And you know somebody always beat Democrat Labour Party. And this was going on from 1976. Even before that, going into independence and things. But I talk about financial transactions. Mm-hmm. The Democrat Labour Party always doing something corrupt. So when the government changed, there was a big, big talk about the waterworks and the building and the tanks that the company did take back up and etc. You remember that, Miss Ellis?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me the company that was focused on at that time?
Okay. Because
sometimes
you tell me. You tell me which company was focused.
It looked. Calling.
No, Alvin.
I mean, that is what
Alvin is getting locked. You can get. Let me make a point.
No, but I was told that from all.
Alvin, people. Please listen to what I'm saying to you. You can get into trouble even when you don't call the name of a company.
Okay, well, let me finish there. Let me get to one thing. I was told that things was going on with a particular company.
Even if you didn't call.
That was all impressed, Miss Ellis.
You just listen to what I'm telling you. Even though you didn't call a name, by the time you are finished, everybody would know which company you're talking about.
But I'm not saying anything that could put the company
No, you did say, that's not true. You said something earlier that could.
Okay, well, let me go on, Miss Ellis. What I'm saying is this. I sit at my dining table listening to Parliament as usual. I listen to Parliament every day. I've got my two radios. And the company that was described in whatever way it was, get renewed new contracts. You know that, Miss Ellis?
But on what terms?
Listen, if you are dealing with a company that you don't have no trust in, you shouldn't give them no new contracts.
Alvin, can let's walk through this. Let's walk through this. You may have had a contract with somebody else before I got to know you. It could have been exposed to me that the terms of the contract were not acceptable, and there may even be some question mark about the deal that you concluded with that person. You may also be one of a relatively small number of people providing that particular service in the country, because it isn't that easy to go there and find people who are organized and mobilized to do the job. So, I put the job out to tender. Hopefully, in this instance, your jobs have been put out to tender, because I want to say to you that I do agree that you've got to hold the feet of the government to the fire on these issues.
This government.
This current administration.
Let me finish what I am saying.
I do not want you to cut across me. Because you don't know. When you come to talk, you behave as though you control this program. Just hold on. I say to you, look, given the fact that you have the capacity to deliver this service, I want to enter into negotiations with you for this particular service. But it does not mean that I am endorsing your bad behavior from your previous agreement with whoever you worked with. So to say that because the government has entered into an agreement with a company that was perceived to have been involved in bad behavior does not mean that you can't do business with them at all, but you make sure that they don't joke out your eye.
Okay, Miss Ellis, can
yes,
I
sir.
move on?
Mm.
Now, Wesley and the Trinidad lady, because, you know, I definitely love to hear the Trinidad lady. And to me, is when I don't a lot now. You don't let us sell and put a points over.
Now, you can't run this program. I tell you so already. You don't run this program, Alvin.
No, I'm speaking about a lady, not you only. But let me explain to you what I'm saying. The company that I was told about, I really felt that the company had done something wrong listening to Parliament. But this is what I'm saying. I try to get you and Wesley and the Trinidad lady try to explain it to you. But to me, the campaign, like, it started again. So you don't want to hear them. We was told, I think it was 2 weeks before the last election, that a particular man would be handcuffed. And it was the worst thing in the world before election. And the same thing happened. To me, all the Barbados Labour Party liked to do, and they were successful with it, with the Duffers. They were successful with it, with the Buffeteer issue. They left all over the world. But they just live off of it. And this morning, because you know, I'm a strange fellow when I speak. There are 7 moderators at Barstack, and 5.5 is government apologists. And I'm saying this here. You know that that gentleman that was described as the worst in the world.
But, you know, I want you to...
Let me finish.
I want you to...
And employed him again. Listen, you know how bad it was.
Well, let me say to you, man, listen, you know, you are so difficult. You just come in for this program every day and it is as if you want to control the whole thing. I can't let you do that.
What am I controlling?
I wanted to say to you,
talking and I listen.
I want to say to you, that part of what we are dealing with would be the commitments that were made to that person by the previous administration, bearing in mind that in law, once you have signed on the dotted line, you have a legal commitment. And therefore, if somebody wants to come and change that, they're going to have to pay you out. So you let... I tell you, Demi, let me finish, man, because you don't let nobody finish. So you have to distinguish those types of arrangements from totally new arrangements that have been entered into with that particular person. So which are the new ones?
Mr. Ellis, all my life I was in construction. If I have a carpenter mason that has carried me to run and do things, I'm not employing him again.
What are the new ones?
I'm getting to the point of
I ask you a question. What are the new ones? What are the new contracts?
This administration.
You want me to give you a new contract? You're looking down at the NAS building.
No,
that's
no,
one.
This means the...
something. What was said anywhere else can't be said here.
That
way. It can't be said here.
And
it cannot be said here, Alvin.
But it was explained to your paper.
Alvin, it cannot be said here.
Now, let me explain to you what I'm saying. Covertly, I raise it with you.
What are the other new contracts?
Just a minute. Can I show you this government that we got in power?
Alvin, I said to you that Covertly... We had a number of projects that were identified as projects on which agreements were already made, including, as you well know, the highly controversial cement operation.
But Mr. Ellis, you will let me finish.
What are the new ones?
I won't get to the point. I came on this way for the last 2 years, Miss Ellis. Merely with you and Peter Wickham. Because I know if I ask Dennis Johnson these questions, he can answer them. And I don't want to put you in trouble. And let me tell you something. I asked you, Straker Stenitry, the gentleman we call the taxi man, what is the square foot of Coveley that was handed to the same man? Oh, you can't remember
That's a big, important question for true. Well, you don't understand. You really serious? No wonder he didn't answer you.
Wait, listen a minute.
I don't remember it, but to me, I got a great time with you with that.
You are telling me, Amar, with your experience in your job, that you could start this morning so aggressive and so powerful, but Barbados Land handing over to a private individual without going to Parliament.
I am not aware of that. Barbados's Crown lands were handed over without any parliamentary approval.
There's never been Parliament with it.
I am not aware. So I will have to check. I will have to check that rather than let you put me in trouble.
You stay away to check from 2007 to 2008.
No. There's a distinct difference. This matter.
No. In the difference, what I'm speaking about happened in less than 2 years.
Alvin.
And we also have a position whereby.
Something else. Anyhow, the point is, let me move on.
Let me finish.
No, I got man.
A developer and a buyer.
To say that those things have not been discussed and debated, first of all, the latter point, as you well know, remains the subject of court action. And when matters are before the court, we are not permitted to have any full-blown discussion on a matter that's before the court. To give the impression that, you know, people are just retreating from a responsibility is, to my mind, you know, that is misrepresenting the truth. But then, it is not peculiar, you know. You have a special way of doing things. And is there anything else you want to ask before you go?
Miss Ellis, why won't I like how you start today?
You like how you first started it?
Yeah, and I was quoting.
But it was only quoting from the document?
But no, I'm talking about the quoting. I'm talking about your voice, the song.
The sound of my voice. Yeah. But I want to say this to you, though.
And I want to go back to White Oak. I want you to deal with the cave in St. Thomas. I want you to deal with what's going on in Bay Street. I want you to deal with what's going on in South Coast, that people are getting endless money in South Coast. And we still got the problem on the street, but it's going to be worse just now.
I want to say to you that it's been a long time since many of these matters were being discussed in various quarters in Barbados. But it took all of this time for a proper investigation to have been done. Alvin, have a good day. Thank you very much. It took all of this time for the Auditor General to deliver a report highlighting these matters. What is also interesting in all of this is that, as it has been highlighted by the Auditor General, we are still in a situation where government departments or state-owned enterprises can pick and choose what information they want to send to the Office of the Auditor General. Something is wrong with that. The system is flawed in that regard. Because what has been exposed in this report could even have been much worse if all the information from various state-owned enterprises had been made available. So we must be suspicious about how much money has gone in the wrong direction. And if we really are serious about trying to heal Barbados and its financial crisis, it ain't the people with the VAT alone that need to be touched. It's all these other players in this country who effectively fleece the taxpayers of Barbados and live high off the hog, while people in places like St. John and St. Joseph and little people in this country have to suffer because the money went elsewhere. This is what is unfortunate about it. It takes time because our system is structured in such a way that you have to spend a lot of time sometimes to try to get to what you want to get. And even then, the legal obstacles are in your way. But eventually, the system still allows you to get a glimpse of what is really happening. And that is what has been exposed in this report by the Auditor General for 2019. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ali.
Good morning.
Yeah, what I have to say is not probably will not be very important since it has no political charge in it. But I want to pick up a point that the gentleman who is usually referred to as anti-American made, and to support him to some extent when it comes to the amount of rent that government pays for buildings when they have other buildings. And the reason why this came to mind is an issue that I have been talking about for quite a while. I have a Facebook page dedicated to it, is the restoration of the public library. Here it is, we have a building in the historic Bridgetown and Garrison area, which has quite a history behind it, that is left there almost in ruin. But I would like someone to calculate for me how much rent the government has paid for the temporary location of the public library over the past between 20 and 25 years. The government has been renting space for the public library. And how much would it cost to restore the library? And this is only one, you know, and I say this in support of the gentleman, because this is only one aspect of how we waste money in our society. And also the fact that what do we see as important? Because if it doesn't seem to have some great political significance, sometimes we don't see these things as important. And, you know, so this is why I say what I'm saying might not be seen as being very important. But I think that in a society where we think that we are part of the developed world and we want to be seen as a developed country and all that, if we do not see the value in things like libraries and institutions and subjects that benefit us as a people, we don't teach civics in school. So this is where you get people coming on the radio and talking all kinds of rubbish, because we don't even understand how government works, you know. And the whole thing with the Auditor General's report, all of that forms part, comes about because of our lack of information and our lack of awareness of what is happening around us, you know. And you know, the one of the unfortunate things is that the very people who you just spoke of that benefit from these either exorbitant fees or high contracts, these are the ones who will look at the rest of us who will be struggling and say, man, you don't know how to live. You don't know how to manage your affairs. I would actually ridicule poor people and give the impression that they're in the state that they're in because they don't know what to do, when they, in fact, are robbing people blind, both at the governmental level and at the personal level. But that's all I have to say for the day, Mr. Ali.
All right, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks, I note here that the government of Barbados is organizing a repatriation flight for Tuesday, June the 9th, that is, from New York, Fort Lauderdale to Barbados. And all persons whose names have not been submitted to the diplomatic missions and forwarded, only people whose names have been submitted to the diplomatic missions and forwarded to JetBlue will be permitted to reserve seats on this particular flight. And all travelers are required to book directly with the airline, and they have given them specific numbers. So if you're listening to us in the United States, in New York or Florida, then you should be aware that you need to make contact with your diplomatic mission if you are keen to take advantage of this opportunity to return home. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. This is Adrian Donovan calling.
Yes, sir.
Your regular caller, Mr. Alvin, last Friday called my name on your program.
He did?
So, yes, man. Yes, yes. He technically called my name. Adrian Donovan. Yeah, the man needs some calls. So I only waited patiently for this past week to respond to him this particular Friday. And I'm sure that he's listening to me. I just want to know, when he comes to this program, he talks about the South Coast and especially the serious issues, that you must come and tell the public some facts. Don't let shook wise, you know? He gives the public wrong impression. Is it like Mr. Ellis?
He's given the wrong impression?
Yes, man. He's shooting all over the place. But anyhow, I just want him to know. I know that he could only go on here, say, or what somebody tells him. But I just can imagine at this time, Mr. Ellis, that the pandemic was going on and we were experiencing the South Coast issues there, but at the same time, I mean, I just can't imagine what the country would be like. But to go on further, I just want to let him know that there were 8 businesses which have been closed permanently shut down, and have never recovered. Fortunately, there are 2 of them, 2 new partners on that area. Particularly, Burger Kingdom has replaced Mobil. This is their friend of Kentucky. And further up by the swamp on the main road is a new sports bar called the Stream Restaurant. So there are new operators on that stretch. So the business is recovering slowly. Unfortunately, you know, the pandemic has hit, so they step back again. But there's definitely no shortage in the street. There's no smelling. The Saint School is back open again, freshly painted. But open from Monday, the Class 4 students. The fish are flowing again in the swamp. The sanctuary is open again. The birds are flying. So the habitat has returned. So I just want him to let him know that things are on the South Coast have improved. And hopefully they will get better. So whenever he comes to this station, Mr. Ellis, and he talks about the South Coast issues, tell him, bring some facts. Bring things to the table that he knows about, that he could talk about. Am I making sense, Mr. Ellis?
Yeah, well, we know that this matter has been fixed, but you know, it's a temporary fix. The long term plan is what needs to be put in place.
Right.
You know, what we have in place right now is not the ideal.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
But it makes a difference from what obtained previously. A vast difference.
A very vast difference, because when I leave here in the afternoon during that time to go home, I had to drive through sewage water. Many got come to work. Many residents were faced with that. And the smell was atrocious. I bet yesterday in the back of the St. Lawrence School, again, behind there was a disaster area. The Ministry of Health have done a fantastic job. They've done some trenches behind there, and they cleared away a lot of debris, and the water's flowing again. So things have really happened. So I would like him to really, I know you may find it hard to do, but just compliment the authorities, rather than the Ministry of Health.
He would say that that's not his job, that's yours.
Yeah, but you can't always, you know, be critical all the time, you know?
Well, it depends upon which side of the fence you sit on, as you well know. they got some people who are critical in private. Once they have to deal with their own political parties, they will go to branch meetings and sit on council, and they will attack viciously there. But when they come outside, all the praise for the party, all the praise for the people in power, or the people who they support. If, as one friend of mine says, he will never be attacking his party in a certain group, not him. So I understand that.
This morning, he mentioned four or five topics there before you went off, and he mentioned some courts, issues again. So, you know, I just wanted to let him know that he must come as a factory table next time, man. Oh, Lord, man, just don't come same thing. You get tired of hearing that foolishness, man, you know?
All right, okay. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I am calling because I'm requesting some action from the Town and Country Planning Development Office. I submitted an application in December, and I'm still not certain what is happening with it. So I would like people to speed up the process because housing starts, and I'm waiting to start. Housing starts is a measure of economic activity in a country. So you shouldn't be delayed on a matter like that.
Somebody told me that they were so frustrated they went there and nothing was happening because apparently they were waiting for some is flexiglass or something to be put up. They can't imagine that something as important as a department as important as this to getting this economy moving again could be held up because of something as simple as that. So I don't know if since then it has been corrected, but this was about two weeks ago or so. The person drew it to my attention. They were pretty frustrated when they shared it with me as well. So I don't know. I hope that they've been able to get their act together.
But the thing is, is it at Garrison or is it Cross Warren?
I don't know. I can't tell you.
Because the thing says Garrison, but a time we went to Garrison and it was at Warren. I know the thing still, something that I got from them still says Block C Garrison.
But you have to call them though. That's the only thing.
But I can't get through.
Oh my goodness. Is that bad? For all the talk that was put down in Parliament and stuff about improving the situation there, you may tell me it is that bad? Minister Cattle needs to do something about it.
I forgot to ask that question.
No. From what you are saying and from what I heard earlier, some attention needs to be paid to making sure that we are able to deliver on the promise which the government made to the people about that area, improving that particular area, because it's so crucial now too.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
COVID.
Very crucial.
Yes. All right, ma'am.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hi. My father.
Yeah.
I had two nice days with you all already. And I didn't want to call back today. But I just want to ask a question about the water authority and things like that, right? Can we consider people thinking, like, to me, I don't like the way this conversation going, like, where the money is and things like that. I just got my check yesterday. So where we are getting checks every month. And so where the money coming from, saying that we don't have tourism anymore, a lot of people have been laid off, all this thing, can be part of the general, with the Auditor General be able to see if some of this money is going into paying pensions and things like that, because...
Which money?
The money in connection with the Water Authority.
Ma'am, that is outrageous. That's an outrageous question.
No,
this is
mean,
about this is the Auditor General reflected on a period of 11 years. All right? Not this year, not last year.
This is somebody for 2019.
2019 was the report, but he was reflecting on the operations of these departments over a period.
Okay.
The statutory corporations. Please don't get things mixed up.
No, I double called and asked you, and I get things mixed up. I'm asking you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I know I'm doing
the. No, it ain't got nothing to do with what the government. The government is paying out of the fact, as it has already outlined, the improvement in our finances allows the government to have a bit more money. Money that would have been going to pay debt. Is now available for the government to help run this country's affairs, from buying buses to bringing the garbage trucks in and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you're not necessarily you're on the right wicket with this.
But I asked a question because I yesterday when I got my chart, right? I said, Lord, I thank you because I remember... When I had a meltdown in 2008, 2009, you were saying that even Greece, those big countries, couldn't even pay a pension.
Well,
right?
You got your pension, and it isn't because the government of Barbados robbed the people of Barbados in some form or fashion to pay you. You know, it is basically that, as they said from the very beginning, if you were paying too much of every dollar in taxes, in debt, you needed to reduce that so that you could get what they will describe as the fiscal space to be able to do things like that, pay people their salaries and do the other things that are necessary. The most crucial aspect of what we face right now is this. Huh? So we've just passed another IMF test. We've also been able to get a considerable amount of money from the IMF. Over and above what we would normally have had under the extended fund facility. And it is therefore very important that that money be used in such a way as to reposition us to be able to earn our way in the world. Because you know the worst thing that we can do is take borrowed money and pay salaries with it. So we gotta be looking for projects and activities that will help to reposition Barbados, help us to be able to earn foreign exchange and grow the economy, get jobs and that sort of thing. And in all fairness to the government, up to now, I mean, I think most people applaud the administration on how it has handled those affairs, for sure. You know, there's some other things that it needs to pay attention to. I don't think that the government gave us any proper explanation, for instance, on the question of the trucks at the and the tendering process and that sort of thing at the SSA. We need to be vigilant. It's as simple as that. Because under all of this success, you will also get some people who will be hiding under there, doing their little thing, organizing things for themselves and stuff like that. Sometimes you didn't hear their voices at all talking about any bad behavior or corruption. You know, other people might have been talking about those things in the campaign, but they're coming under cover, sorting out things this way and that way. And somehow, they believe that it will go unnoticed. But it doesn't. You know, people talk, people hear. And in due course, Auditor General reports will be done on other places too. Whether it happens under the BLP administration or not, You know, all it takes for the Auditor General to do a special report on you is for the Prime Minister to order it. You know, even though you're part of an administration, it does not necessarily mean that you can escape that scrutiny even when your party is in power. All depends upon relationships and, who complains and who says that, you know, I think this is wrong, and what relationship you have with the people in ultimate authorities. So don't believe for 1 minute that a focus on the past administration and how things went with them will mean that this current administration is not under the same kind of scrutiny. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You on the air?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I would like to speak about NAS, sir.
Mm-hmm. What about it?
I would know that it's said that we have about approximately 43,000 persons with the claims to be had. Mm-hmm. But I would wanted to know if there would be possible to get someone to explain how the process does work, how of alphabetical order, whatever. Because when you have people getting 2 and 3 checks, and no one, and some doesn't have any as yet, I don't feel it is fair, sir.
Well, I can't explain it. I think
someone should be able to come out and explain how the process of calculating the claims are done, so we could always be saying, okay, they're doing it this way, that way. You can be patient. But when you hear some of your colleagues start getting 2 and 3 checks, and you will have any, what is going on in there? You're calling. The line hasn't been working now. It's over 6 weeks. You can't get through to even ask a question. The table. So just saying that means that I encourage you not to come down to the office, sir.
Okay.
You are something, and nobody in there is saying anything for you to be sympathetic with their situation, sir. Come and speak to the people. Let us know how you are doing the claims. But some of your colleagues on the third check, and you ain't have one yet. We all have to eat. Bills are piling up. Floyd's call you every day, want to know when they can get the money for the bill. And nobody is saying anything.
I think the problem with the NIS is that they have not really found the answer to communicating effectively with the public. They
Correct.
Do try, but they haven't been able to find that. I found that over the years, a lot has rested heavily on one person who will come into that area and be able to, first of all, get the authority to speak, because part of the problem with agencies like those is that there's still a lot of, there's an attempt as much as possible to protect the agency by avoiding contact with the public, especially through the media. The PR person has to do that, but that person needs to have a certain degree of autonomy. If they don't, then all they do is they feel the pressure, but they can't actually communicate effectively with the members of the public on what is happening.
But so, I feel at this time, so the phone should be working by now. This is over 6 weeks. A main cooperation that deals with public and the phone's still down, sir?
Yeah, that something is wrong there.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, if it's going on for that length of time, assuming that what you're saying is correct, because sometimes you might be calling the wrong number, too.
No, I call it the 467-4647 number, sir, which is the customer care service number, and you get the rotation of that voice note.
Well,
for hour and a half of this, body was on it for over an hour.
If you listen to what has been said in these sessions that the government has had on the BOSS program,
mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister has again repeated the need for the raising of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
For us to look more seriously at how we see ourselves. And that's part of what the National Training Initiative is all about.
Correct.
So that organizations and institutions like the NIS would be able to better benefit from that, because
but
They play such a vital role in this country. Correct. But the big problem is how they communicate.
Yeah. But, sir, on the green form, you have to submit, you have a phone number and an email address. If you are having challenges with some person claim, do you don't think it's reasonable to either drop them an email or call them to explain what is what? Because by now, the claim should be coming across some person's death. Is that too unreasonable to ask, sir?
Well, I don't think so, but as I said, they have problems, you know.
Yeah, but you need to get specialists involved and see and try to fix the phone, the NAS. Let's at least tell some person, we hear you, we understand you calling, and we are working on it. That's all we need then.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Down to brass tacks. Hello? Somebody says the reason why that's happening is because people got friends in there who processed for them. Very possible. This is Barbados. It's 11:57. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, yes, good morning. I'm calling to lend my voice to this Auditor General report.
Yes.
Yes. I consider myself to be a relatively young person. I'm a taxpaying citizen. And I must say that, you know, I just want to say that I'm very concerned every year that this report is laid. And then there's a deafening silence from the people in charge. Successive administrations, they don't come out and they don't speak out and they don't say anything. And for me, the AG, he does a fantastic job. But what he uncovers, you know, internal control deficiencies, the misappropriation of funds, and even breaches of conscience, yet we hear nothing from the respective ministers in charge. So I really want to ask the Barbadian public, you know, what is the mirror image that we have of ourselves as a nation, where we aid and we abet malfeasance? We turn a blind eye and we do nothing about it. Every year, the Auditor General does a great job, but then what becomes of this information? You know, when are we going to be talking about the integrity legislation? When are we going to be giving his office some kind of teeth to do something? Was the ability to fine, the ability to prosecute? How is it that, you know, right now we're dealing with the COVID? Everyone has come together. We've helped the less fortunate, getting laptops and getting food and what's not, and that is fantastic. But how are we helping ourselves? This $11 million over the 10-year span, that's 10% of this BOSS program. You know, is there more that hasn't been uncovered and hasn't been reported? Think of all the leakages. I think about the Water Authority and the non-revenue water that they suffer from every month and every year. They require millions of dollars to fix that, take up the pipes and what's not. But this issue does not require any money, you know? And I asked myself, what are we doing, Barbados? Where are we going and how are we going to, what is our vision for the future? Because how is it that we can know that wrongdoing is being done and we do nothing about it? And it is something that affects every other person. We have, you know, right-thinking people like myself are asked year and year to pull our pockets more and more to pay for things that people are doing underhanded.
You may find this interesting. The U.S. labor market improved unexpectedly in May, raising hopes that economic damage tied to the coronavirus pandemic will be less harmful than feared. The unemployment rate fell to 13.3%, down from 14.7% in April, as businesses started hiring again. We were talking with a young lady before we went to the news update. Are you still there, ma'am?
Yes, I'm still here, David.
Yes, I heard your concern, and I think it is shared by so many other people in the country. Other people who, some of the regular callers today, reflected the same worry about the extent to which these things are drawn to national attention and then nothing happens. And mm-hmm. It creates an environment of skepticism and doubt. And if there's one thing that could have emerged from the 13-0 at the last elections in 2018, is that it would have given people hope that we would see a different approach, not only in terms of how the economy has been handled, but how the government addresses issues of this nature. Because what it does is that it gives a signal as to what you would expect from your own people And it says to them, listen, if we take action against others, it then starts a ball rolling that says that if we do foolishness, they're going to do likewise.
Yes, exactly. And like in my learning, we talk about the tone from the top and how the, you know, what is done at the top, it permeates and trickles through the entire organization. And in this case, the organization is the society. So if we have the people who we put in power and we, you know, we look up to make good, sound judgment calls, and we see that they're not doing that, then, you know, where is the recourse?
You feel that way about this issue of the Barbados Water Authority now? As though all of this has been exposed, but nothing is being done?
Absolutely. And, you know, I wanna maybe compare it to another situation. Whenever we're blacklisted as a country, there is hue and cry from every corner of the administration, each administration. I don't want to make it sound like I'm being political. Each administration, they kick into fifth gear, they do the press releases, they hurry and scurry to have meetings, and, you know, they try to regain their image in the international scene. Where is that kind of concern for locally? You know, when your administration is being called in and you seeming damning reports are being laid, how come there's not the same response? You know, it's basic to me, the image, what is being said is that we only care about the public image. We only care how we look to the international world. But when I'm dealing with my own, oh, anything goes. We can do whatever. And I ask, you know, if we were to stop this leakage, what would our treasury look like right now? You know, would we be able to do this, to build the roads? Would schools be in a better position? The hospitals? I mean, right now, COVID has shown us our health is the most important thing. Are we still hearing horror stories about people going to the QEH and not getting the proper treatment? The hospital is low on supplies, low on drugs. So I ask Barbados, what are you prepared to do? How are we going to make sure that we have a voice in between each election? How are we going to hold our elected officials to the fire? Because this is just not good enough. If this was happening in my personal home and I found out that someone was stealing my money, there would be heads, you know, somebody would have to answer to this. But for some reason, when it happens to our collective dollars, we don't do anything. And I don't think it is good enough.
Well, I understand how you feel about it. I think that we need to take some kind of guidance from what is happening in the United States today. And it is that if you allow certain problems to fester, then one day something happens. Something that on the face of it was not, you know, considered to be a big thing, but it's just that it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. It is that one incident that makes the world of difference, that makes people stand up and say enough is enough. And it is so important that we speak about these things, that we let our voices be heard, so that yours is perhaps the most significant voice so far, because yours is not a voice that we hear every day. You know, what happens is that once you hear the everyday caller saying the same point, making the same point, then that person is immediately pigeonholed into being a BLP, a DLP, or just a regular caller. But there is a place for voices like yours to let the administration know that, look, you're essentially saying this is something that should not go unnoticed, unpunished. And you can't just sweep this one under the carpet as you've done with others. You know, people have complained about this thing here with the Deputy Commissioner of Police. They believe that this has been swept under the carpet. Mm-hmm. The answers that have been given do not add up. The Prime Minister's comments don't square with the comments that came from the Attorney General. Correct. Don't believe that we've forgotten it. It does not make sense. If it don't make sense, then you got to do better than that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you remind us of what we've been through before. That there are certain things that we are supposed to accept, like it or lump it. And because you say it, we must buy it, you know, because of who has said it. But a lot of people in this country who don't accept information that way. It has to make sense, first and foremost. It has to make sense. And therefore, I hear your concern.
Thank you. And I even want to speak a little bit to even the terminology that we're using now, where we've elevated our politicians to their own class, you know, this political class. And it just sounds as though we're deepening and widening the gap in our society. The social contract is of such that, you know, once you have a certain job now, you've elevated and you somehow are above reproach and you're above the law. And I think we have to be really careful about how we position these people in power. They're called public servants. And I think we need to remember that in how we approach them and in how we even discuss them. They're servants, so they're here to serve us. Mm. And we then must make sure that they're doing a good job.
It is a term that I heard back in the 1980s when they were discussing, I think it had to do with public servants, pay and the pay of MPs and that sort of thing. And I suppose when you refer to it as a political class, it is reflecting on how you've heard them describe themselves. But let us not fool ourselves. At the end of the day, when you become an MP, it is possible, based upon the perks and the power and prestige, it is quite possible not to see yourself as an average person anymore. Indeed, they will tell you that the commercial banking sector sees them as politically exposed persons and it treats them differently. The commercial banks will treat them differently. So, you know, there is that difference, whether we want to believe it or not. They're supposed to be servants, and many of them are. But there are some people who assume a completely different posture in life once they have become elevated to the status of Member of Parliament. Mm-hmm. In time, that passes, but for the moment, and all you have to do is talk to people about what they may be seeing now from some. Not everybody is able to adjust to that situation well. You know.
Well, I just thank you for letting me lend my voice. I can tell you that I'm one of many. You know, my peers, my WhatsApp has been very busy this morning. Everyone has been commenting and, you know, expressing their frustration. I have a lot of people who are even looking to emigrate because people are fed up.
Talk to me about that. What are they saying? What are your peers? What kind of age group are we talking about?
In the early 30s.
Early 30s.
Young professionals.
Right. And they're saying what?
Well, I had one that was saying, you know, she feels like her money is being stolen and squandered. You know, we're not getting our value for money. So we're paying more and more taxes, both direct and indirect, but yet still the money's not being spent. We're driving on horrible roads. You know, I remember at the start of the last school year, we saw the deplorable condition of the schools. And we just feel like we're being asked to give more and more, but the leakages are so big that the money isn't going where it's supposed to go.
Right.
And we feel like because there are not enough checks and balances in the system, we feel powerless. You know, we look to then see maybe there's another system that we can thrive in, a.k.a. another country.
Yeah, but you know, let me tell you something. They got some people, some Bajans living in the United States right now who wish they could be back in this country. Wherever you go, you have to face something. I mean, people tell me about the racism that they have to experience living abroad. You know, you imagine what it's been like for people who've had to go through racism, COVID, and now riots. You know, there are no easy solutions to these problems. And, you know, this country has invested so much in its people that in a sense, it is sad to see our people reach a stage where they say, you know what, rather than stand here and fight and try to make Barbados better, I prefer to leave. Because leaving, to me, sends a message that says, I expected my life to be better. I expected it to be easier. And since it is not easier, I am not part of that fight to make it better. Somebody else has to be involved in that. I'm going to go wherever it's easier.
Well, I don't want to make it sound... First of all, I want to say that there's much more to the world than the USA. right? I think the, we grew up thinking that the U.S.
Britain.
Is the pinnacle of development.
Britain?
We're slowly seeing the cracks in the American society, and it's becoming less and less attractive as a destination.
But Britain has been like that for many people, too. And the only other place that they talk about, that the young people talk about here, is Canada.
There you go.
Every person in the 30s group now who wants to migrate to Canada.
Yes, I actually have quite a number of friends that have migrated there. And from all accounts, they're settling very, very well.
Well,
but I wanted to when people leave, it's not so much that we expected life to be easy. It's that social contract that we had growing up where we were told you go to school, you do good, and then it was supposed to play out a particular way. And what is happening now with the stealing and the squandering is shifting. And as I said, we're powerless in this situation. Like, what mechanism do we have as an average citizen to really effect and touch what is going on?
Okay.
You know, it just feels as though that we are powerless. That's how we feel.
All right, can I explore this with you from a different angle? And it has to do with the orientation and the environment. Because if you got brought up in an environment which gives you a sense of idealism, and then you discover what the real world is, because whether you're talking about Barbados or any other country, there are elements of this in every society. You can't run from Barbados and go into utopia. You're going to find some element of that. But if you have been raised in a climate in the country that says you should not expect something like this, and to a large extent, when you're in your early 30s, you can be in a situation where you haven't really... This is the first time you're really coming to terms with having to look after yourself. Pay your bills.
The working world and stuff.
Precisely. So if prior to that you've been in a cocoon, and I will also raise with you this question. You can determine whether you think it's delicate or not. But is there a distinction between in how you see it, depending upon whether you went to public school or private school?
I am not sure, because I went to public school my entire life.
Went to public school.
Yeah.
And it's an important point to make that if you have gone through public school in Barbados your entire life and you have emerged with a situation today that says, you know what, this country is not giving me what it promised me, then we have a big problem.
Yes, I think so. I mean, even in the public system, you were taught that, you know, every action has a consequence. And you knew you had to fall in line, and you knew that if you towed the line or you went over the line,
yes,
you were quickly pushed back. But what I'm saying is that we don't see that happening in society. We see people who are well over the line, and there's no consequence. I think it's about being just, right? It's about feeling that your action will give you a certain reward, or your non-action would give you a certain consequence. And when that is broken, then it creates a state of chaos, because you're telling people one set of rules for one set of people. You're telling people, well, you don't fit in, so you can't get these rules. You don't benefit from this. And to me, that's a breakdown.
That's a fascinating thing that we're discussing this at a time when the United States is having a discussion about race and about how certain people benefit and how much privilege they have.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly it. The underclass have witnessed and they've bided their time and seen how different rules apply to different people. And in the American case, it's because of skin color, something that they can't even change, something that they didn't ask for themselves, something that no matter what they do, no matter their education, no matter their earning status, it will never change.
In our case, is it limited just to the political class, as I call it?
No, not at all. I think
where else do you see it in this country?
I see the business class as well. So with my friends and I, we have a little joke where we say the political class actually learned from the business class, right? So taking us back to the plantation society, it feels very much as though we have just evolved, but we've changed the slave master from one to the next. And that might be some really harsh and maybe inflammatory language, I understand that. But what we see time and time again are what they like to call the average Barbadian is still suffering at the hands of the boss. The boss can send them home, don't give them the right paper, you know, don't pay them adequately. Just take advantage of people. And when we go now to the elected officials and we ask for help, well, they're doing the same thing. You know, so it's like, well, who then do we turn to? The ombudsman? Is that office even, like, when last have we heard any reporter? How effective is that office? How effective are the different commissions that do investigations and what's not? So it just feels very much like the, you know, the race issues in the America, yes, that's black and white. But in Barbados, 95% black, is it? But we still feel, I can identify essentially is what I'm saying with what's going on with the black people in America. I feel their struggle. I can feel how unjust it is. And I feel the burden. And, you know, we don't want this.
You feel it in Barbados?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, the fact that there's still places in Barbados that when you go, you know, you are charged one price depending on if you are a quote-unquote member than if you looked a different way. You know what I mean? Like, and this is 2020 Barbados. And we think that we have liberated and we think that we have progressed, but there's still very much pockets where the olden thinking and the old way of doing things is still very much
but
present.
But what is coming through from what you're saying as well is that it is not just a question of color here.
No, definitely not. And even the fact that you asked me, public or private, you see, that in itself is another how we like to stratify the society. We say, oh, she went to private school. They don't know the real Barbados.
Yes.
Or, you know, and so it's. I think Barbados, we need to speak out more. You know, I listened to, in a visit to Trinidad and Jamaica, they have their own issues. But one thing I always applaud them for is how vocal they are. How the intellectuals, the university lecturers, they speak out on issues. And, you know, if they see something that is unjust, they come and they speak. They don't just hold lectures so that people with the time and in the inner circles can get to, but they come to the public and they try to educate the public and they let them know how they are thinking. So that the discourse, as you said, it's not just the regular callers that are calling all the time, but the average man can understand, okay, this is what I've been going through. Somebody else identifies and somebody else sees it. I'm not alone. You know, we're in this fight together. But in Barbados, it doesn't. I don't feel that. I don't feel like the quote unquote learned people are out there speaking up and holding.
No, they sit down every day and curse the people, the regular callers, and behave as though they're so, you know, up there and above it, the fray and that sort of thing. But my view here is, you see, people in your age group. Question is, how can we tap into more of your views? How can we make you feel as though you are a part of the solution to the problem? How can I get a group of you together to actually be more involved in the process rather than to run away?
I'm available.
If you're available.
I can be the example. You know, it always takes one.
Fine. Well, that's fine. Talk to Dennis Johnson, and we will talk about that. That's important.